And it was my 40th birthday, so it was quite a significant moment. And it was different to probably what it would have been like otherwise. But absolutely didn't bother me that, I wasn't going to have this kind of big party with friends and stuff. And instead, I got brought a bacon sandwich into bed by the kids. They hadn't cooked it, just to be
Brilliant.
clear. Dean done that bit.
This is Gaydio Academy Voices. My God, Toby Whitehouse. What a pleasure it is to have you here. And you're
It's
the one
nice to
that.
see you.
Nice to see you. You kicked off my career in radio many a moons ago. And it's wild because now I'm chatting with you about kids, which is
A lot has
amazing.
changed. A lot has changed since then.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you, because this is something that one, I would love to be able to do myself, in the next few years or so. So I'm seeing this as more of a guidance for me and for people listening. They're going to find this fascinating and they want to learn more and they might want to be doing the same thing too. When it comes to being a parent, going from not being a parent to a parent, that is such a jump, and I bet that was so exciting as well for you going through the whole process. Tell me about a time when that light bulb moment went off in your mind, and you knew from that moment, oh my God, I'm going to be a dad.
It's interesting. Some people, I think, are born almost knowing that they want to be parents and have got this big vision of a, huge family and stuff like that. And I think it's fair to say that my husband is that person. Like, he grew up in quite a big family and always had that sort of dream for himself, I think. Even to the point at which I think if things had gone differently for him and he wasn't able to come out, he probably would have gone down that path with a woman and had a family and done all that, and then kind of stepped back, years later and gone, oh, maybe this isn't me, kind of thing. I think my experience was a little different in that I think I was heavily kind of, I felt heavily restricted by what society told me was possible as a gay man. So as like, growing up as a young gay man or coming to terms with your sexuality, one of the things that I felt I was coming to terms with was the fact that actually it's probably not possible to have a family. And I got myself into a position whereby I almost convinced myself that I didn't want one, because I was told I couldn't have one, if that makes sense. So I kind of got to a place where I was like, right, well, that's not possible. I'll just block that off and it doesn't exist in my world. And then as, I got older and understood myself and my sexuality more and the world around me changed and all that kind of stuff, it sort of felt like, oh, actually, maybe this is now a possibility. And then you have to do kind of a lot of not necessarily soul searching, but you kind of go back and go, oh, is this actually what I think now? What do I want? What do I want life to be like? And I think for me, meeting Dean and when we got into a relationship, that was kind of a real turning point for me, because I sort of probably for the first time, well, definitely for the first time, thought, oh, actually, this is somebody that I can imagine building a family with. And yes, that is definitely something that I want. And let's look into how that's going to be possible.
And you've got how many little ones have you got now?
Two, who
Two.
are 3 and 4 years old.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Were you
And it's
prepared?
mad because, well, you can ask me about being prepared for that. So, like, you can't prepare for it. Like, you they when you go through the process, there is a lot of preparation that goes into it. It's, I think we went to like an open evening type thing initially just to find out some more and what was involved and all that kind of stuff. And actually, I think we were given that we had a certain thing in our minds of what the process might be like. And I think the first thing I thought it would be, is long and drawn out. And for all the right reasons, we came away from that meeting thinking, oh, actually, this could be quite a quick process. Maybe we don't sort of start looking into it quite so deeply just yet because we had other things going on in our life and stuff. We thought we won't be ready in 6 months' time, sort of thing. So we paused it for a bit and then came back to it and went through the process, which is, I don't know, that we were kind of warned almost by the agency, Adoption Counts, that it was quite, it could be quite intrusive. Because they do, you know, there's a lot of questions and meetings around, you know, your own experiences of growing up and hopes to be a parent and all that kind of stuff, expectations. And actually, I don't think either of us found that part of the process particularly intrusive. It kind of some days felt like free therapy, actually, which was quite useful. But no, I think it was a really useful process because you do do a lot of reflecting on what you think parenting is about and your own experiences of, you know, growing up and what you would want to carry forward and what you'd want to change from, you know, your own upbringing. So that was really useful. But nothing prepares you for the actual, you know, I don't know how to describe it, tornado maybe, of two toddlers being, you know, thrown into your world. And it's beautiful and completely life-changing in amazing ways. But the tricky thing is, you know, you can do as much preparation as you want, but these kids, they come with certain stuff preloaded. And that's some just because of their personalities and who they are and the things that they've come to know and expect and all that sort of stuff. And some of it because the possible trauma that they might have experienced earlier in life. And that's, you know, you can kind of prepare yourself in terms of what might be possible. But then when you find yourself in that position, you have to go, okay, right, we're learning this, we're finding this out, we're being responsive to that. And there's two of them, you know, at the same time, trying to figure that out, how it fits into your world, how you fit into theirs, how you can best meet their needs, all that kind of stuff. And it feels, I suppose, challenging, but in a positive way, because if you can, I think it is possible to quite quickly see the results of, you know, what a loving home and without, you know, without getting too much into backgrounds of our kids, you can just, it's an amazing feeling when you can kind of see them developing and progressing and all that kind of stuff. It's life-changing, overwhelming, brilliant, beautiful, scary, joyous. It's all sorts of things. It's really hard to describe.
When you was there a moment where you looked at your other half in the eyes and was like, wow, this, we did it, this is us, this is our family, this is our lives? Because like day one must have been like such an emotional and mental roller coaster for you both.
It's really interesting that you refer to day one, because I find it hard to pinpoint when day one was, because it feels like there's lots of day ones. You know, there's kind of day one of embarking on the training, and then there's day one of finding out who the kids are for the first time, meeting them, you know, being here forever. Like all those sorts of moments are day ones, like the first day that they call you daddy, all that sort of stuff. You know, there's so many day ones. I think the most, I'll talk about a couple of different moments that feel important. I think when, because what happens is, you know, you get matched with these kids. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes without us, where social workers are kind of identifying potential good matches for the children. And then they come to you and they sort of say, okay, so here's a couple of kids, what do you think, kind of thing. It's a that I hadn't prepared myself at that moment. Like, they try to, and they, you know, they kind of do a lot of work with you around the sorts of stuff you might be reading on profiles and stuff like that. But it is, I can't put that into words, what that feels like. Like, there's an overwhelming sense of privilege, I think, was the best way I can describe it. Whereas, you know, you kind of go, do we want to take these kids on or not? Like, what? That just feels bizarre in a way. Like, how can you say no? But then if you don't feel like it's the right match, how do you say no? And all that kind of stuff. So that was a difficult moment. I think that was the most challenging moment for us, kind of, you know, working out how to proceed through that sort of matching process. But we got some great advice from friends and social workers and stuff, so that was okay. The moment with the most weight to it, for me personally, was meeting them for the first time. So I can get in my head about stuff, I think, like that, and really overthink things. And definitely I did that with this. And you kind of think, you know, obviously there's a lot of significance around that anyway, because you're meeting potentially your kids for the first time. And what do you say? How are they going to be with you? All that sort of stuff. And I remember the day so clearly. It had been snowing and we were meeting them in the park for a quick, very quick sort of meeting. And a lot of work's gone on before this around, you know, preparing the kids to meet us, and we'd kind of prepared welcome books for them and all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of work happening before this moment. But I don't think anything can really prepare you for it. And I remember walking through the snow up to the park gates and seeing these two children that we've only seen on a couple of photographs before, probably up to this point. And as you're walking up to them, you know, they're kind of getting bigger and bigger and more real. And we get to them and the social worker says, who's that? And the boys both go, that's Daddy Toby and that's Daddy Dean. Wow. Like, from moment one, really? It was, yeah.
Oh my God, stop it now, Toby. You're making me bawl my eyes out. Oh,
yeah, it was, wow. It was mad. And then because it'd been snowing, it's brilliant because it was a great leveler. So we went into the park and, you know, literally got down on their level and were making snowballs and having snowball fights and all that kind of stuff, which was a lot of fun. And things went a lot better, I suppose, than I'd hoped. I don't know what I'd hoped for, but it felt kind of great. And actually what was supposed to be quite a short meeting, then we, you know, went to a cafe afterwards and had a hot chocolate and stuff like that, and it was great. And we came away with such a overwhelming sense of positivity from it. So yeah, a brilliant moment. The moment which feels like, whoa, what's going on here, is when during the that introductions process, which kind of lasts a couple of weeks from that first moment you meet them to the day when they sleep over for the first time and then forever, you kind of, I remember going to bed that night and just looking at Dean and saying, there's two kids in the room next door and they're ours. And they're here forever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's quite something.
I'm a mess here.
Sorry.
Oh my God. I am such a mess because, like, it just fills me with so much joy to see how happy you are and to see this, you know, reality, to see this dream become a reality for you and Dean as well. No, this is really beautiful, actually. So proud of you. This is amazing. Being part of the LGBTQ plus community, it has its challenges being in the community itself, and then going through the process of really wanting to, you know, take a child or children under your wing and really look after them and make them family. Are there conversations like, okay, so what if the kids are homophobic, or what if the kids don't know what LGBTQ plus means? Was that going through your head as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, to be honest, a lot of that stuff is still to be seen in a way, because at a very young age, you don't know how kids, you know, the kids don't get that sort of side of things. I don't think they understand who we are. They understand that we're not their birth parents, and we talk about that a lot with them. But it's hard to know how, when they do start to truly understand, you know, what being in a same-sex relationship means, and the fact that that isn't the norm. You know, we've got a lot of same-sex friends that are same-sex relationships and stuff like that as well. So they see a lot of it, and hopefully that'll have an influence on them where they just kind of don't really question it. But who knows, you know, whether that's what they'll continue to think as they grow up. I really hope so. I mean, one of the things that we questioned as well at that sort of matching stage was, you know, what would the birth parents think about it as well? Because, you know, it's, you know, you have to have a lot of empathy, I think, for what the birth family go through as well through this. You know, it's, yes, it's a positive experience for us, but on the flip side of that, it's really not a positive experience for another family. And that's really tough. And the more you think about that, it can get quite overwhelming, that feeling, actually, I think. And so then you kind of added on to that is this additional weight of the fact that we're a same-sex couple. And you kind of think that, okay, they know that their kids are going to be adopted. They probably have certain expectations around what that would look like. And they've probably got a man and a woman in their mind. And maybe that helps a little bit. And then kind of, what if they've got these kind of deep-rooted feelings for whatever reason? Does that add further complication to it for them and make it more difficult for them? And that's something that I still think about. And it was definitely something that we spoke about at the early stages. But I don't know how much it changes things, but you kind of just have to focus on being positive around it and, you know, focusing on the kids. That's the main thing, I think, through anything like this. If you ever experience any kind of doubt or worry or anything like that, kind of focus on the reasons why you're doing it and the positivity that you're hopefully going to bring to these children's lives, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I find really, really interesting? Of course, when it comes to having kids, celebrating birthdays and Christmas and things like that, what was that like for you, celebrating your first family tradition or first family anything? It could be a birthday. What was that like for you? Because that must have been one expensive to no, really, well, really great.
The first kind of significant moment that came up was my birthday, actually. And it was my 40th birthday. So it was quite a significant moment. And it was different to probably what it would have been like otherwise, but absolutely didn't bother me that, you know, I wasn't going to have this kind of big party with friends and stuff. And instead, you know, I got brought a bacon sandwich into bed by the kids. They hadn't cooked it, just to be
brilliant.
Clear, Dean done that bit. so yeah, that kind of didn't bother me. I think then when you start to work through the year, different things happen. So it was one of the boys' birthdays after that. And Yeah, it's interesting because also I think because they're siblings as well, you kind of have to work out, oh well, how does the other one feel about all the attention being put onto, their brother and all that kind of stuff? And that can be tricky, I think, trying to work out how to balance that. We've had a few moments around that. And then try not to make too much of a big deal around the grown-ups' birthdays and stuff, because that's probably even worse, because it's, even less fun for them, because you might not be going to a farm or a soft play or, whatever. I mean, Christmas was magical as well, obviously. Well, not obviously. It could have been hellish, because these times, I think, what they are, as you grow up, and if you've had a relatively standard kind of bringing and stuff like that, there might be times of excitement, but actually there can also be difficult times, and there can be emotional stuff connected with certain times of year and stuff like that as well, and completely dysregulating. Like Christmas is at school, everything's different. There's Christmas parties and fun things and Santa and loads of presents and loads of different people and all that kind of stuff. So it's a completely abnormal time of year in a lot of ways. And I think, one of the things that we're pretty keen on is having a really reliable routine that the kids know what to expect every day. And I think that is really helpful, both for us and for them. And then suddenly Christmas comes and it's like, whoa, everything's different. The rule book's out. Likewise with holidays and things like that. And you have to quite quickly, learn, okay, how do we put this into context and work through that and make sure that although the rule book's out the window, the rule book still exists, guys. So that can be tricky. But yeah, Christmas was great. And it brings back all those sort of feelings that as grown-ups have probably gone away a bit. And well, one of the things that I struggled with Christmas though actually was the pretense around it. This is sound really weird, like, because we tried to be really open and honest with the kids about lots of things, like their history, their upbringing, world, all sorts of stuff. We try to be as honest as possible, and try to teach them to be as well. And then suddenly Christmas comes along and you're pretending that some bloke comes down the chimney with a load of presents. And also you have to put a lot of your pretense around it, which I didn't enjoy at all. And I found that more challenging than I thought. But once you've got through that element, it's great to, do all that stuff the night before and put stuff out for Santa and Rudolph and then see them in the morning, the excitement of opening presents and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's great.
That is so cute. I can just imagine you being so stressed out, like, oh yeah, so Santa, and then trying to explain
Yeah,
that.
and
Amazing. What's something that you're hoping for in the future with your family?
I think the only thing you can ever hope for is like happiness, really. Like just I think generally in life, but particularly through adoption and parenting generally, the only thing you ever want, I think, is for your kids to be happy, whatever that means for them. I don't have expectations around what I want them to grow up to do as a job or anything like that. As long as they're happy, that's the main thing. I mean, we get moments of happiness every day from something as small as, a cuddle in the morning to the sort of big items like teaching them to ride a bike and all that kind of stuff. So we get that joy and that happiness all the time. I hope they get it as well, and that as they grow up, they continue to feel happy. That's the only thing. And I hope that as they become adults, that we're able to continue to you know, be a family, really, because that's another unknown, I suppose. You know, you don't know what happens when they grow up and, you know, start making their own life choices and things like that. I hope we're able to maintain what I think is a beautiful family relationship that we have at the moment.
Could you ever imagine yourself as a grandpa, Toby?
Well, according to one of the boys, they've already got children, which I struggle with a little bit. I'm not sure how that's not Grandpa sure how he's figured Toby. That one out.
It's got a nice ring to it. I think it would be absolutely splendid and you'd smash it. Absolutely do great, great job as a grandpa. You know, with like resources for our community, was there plenty of it for you, did you think?
Loads. I mean, you know, there's loads of great support in terms of the agencies that, you know, you work with as, you know, as adopters. So I mentioned that Adoption Counts was the agency that we worked with, and they've been brilliant. You know, they kind of, there's obviously you get a direct social worker for that kind of ongoing support through the process, but then there's courses that you can go on and things like that. And we've done quite a bit of it. And then there's, you know, specific LGBT focused stuff as well. We've engaged a lot with Proud to Be Parents. Certainly in the early kind of period of our process as well. Anyway, when the boys first came and, you know, we wanted to kind of get out amongst sort of like-minded people and, you know, families that were in a similar position and stuff like that. So yeah, organisations like that are really useful. And, you know, there's tons of stuff online as well, obviously.